Today's presenter is Nielsen Nastasio. Nielsen joined the Autonomic Computing Organization, IBM Software, in February of 2006 as an enablement specialist for self-healing technology. He's responsible for assisting IBM product development teams in the integration of components that help IT administration while isolating and correcting problems in IBM middleware. He also works with internal support teams to deploy tools that can help them solve problems reported by our customers. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Danielson.
Thanks, Elijah. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. My name is Danielson Nastasio, as introduced it. And we're going to go through the slides today, and I separated this in three main areas, so I'm going to talk through when I'm switching from big area to another. We have around 25 or 26 slides to cover. I want to separate this in the sense of what is this, what is the business case for log analysis. Later show the set of tools from autonomic computing that are available to IBM customers today that could help you with that the particular problem whenever customer calls or an internal user hits with the problem. There are some traditional ways, of course, problems are dealt with today, and we're trying to show a different way or possibly an improved way of doing that. So I want to cover all the tools that we have available today. And later I want to show more of a case study in terms of a common problem. It's an actual problem that we face it internally and how that can be dealt with in a better way. Everybody can still find a solution, but I want to show how these tools can not only help you find a solution, but also find it faster, maybe in an automated fashion, and how you can share that expertise with the rest of the team without formal education, mostly through the tooling and kind of the built-in workflows inside these applications. So I'm going to turn to slide number one. Actually, that's the cover. The slide number two, that's my first slide. So that's the agenda I have for today. So just recapping the three big areas, I want to show the business case, I want to show the tools applied to it, and then show them more applied to a real concrete case study, and hopefully that will relate to problems that you face on a daily basis, and that will make your life simpler. So I'll switch to slide number three. That's my model of dealing with problems. I work directly with IBM support teams routinely, and that's kind of the recurring model. Is the first thing when someone calls an internal customer, an end user that says my application is not working or I can't log into that server, you try and recreate the problem. The worst thing that could happen is for you to go and deal with the problem for hours just to find out there is some problem at the end user machine or some web browser related issue. So you really want to be able to recreate that problem as the user is explaining it. Maybe you're going to try to log on yourself, you're going to try to ping that system, but you want to be sure that the problem is real and you more or less you narrowed it to this location and have some clues as to what the problem is. You're going to run some diagnostic tools. That could be a tool, could be your experience. Maybe sometimes you know the system so well that just by looking at it, you know what the problem is. Maybe some fix that's still being produced or hasn't been deployed, so you pretty much know what it is, but you want at some point to find out what that problem is. And that's tongue-in-cheek, but it's Google and Google again. Right? I mean, you're going to go into whatever is shown in the screen or the log files or on the console for those products or if it's middleware. You're going to try and see if Google tells you what the problem is. You're going to read through that those returned pages, see if the initial paragraphs match with what the user described it. If it doesn't work, Google the next message. Google's becoming a verb, I guess. And other thing, recurring pattern, ask a coworker, because if especially in a small team, there is always a chance that problem was fixed yesterday or seen yesterday. There is a patch already in the way. It's been already been reported. There was also the case where when you ask a coworker, he's going to Google it again. And when all else fails, that's the last resort. You're going to have to dive into those log entries, and you're going to have to find them, all thousands of them, and you're going to go through that process again until eventually something strikes you as the solution. There is the very the worst problem of all is when there are no solutions at all, and you're going to have to escalate this, maybe to your vendor support or to someone more technical. Maybe someone's going to have to look at the source code for that application. but usually these five steps are very common. And so what we have for it, when you go to slide number four, those are the tools that we created to make that process easier, or not only make it easier, but also to transform it to some point. Once you get used to doing the things from previous slides, from the steps from the previous slides, faster, there is a point in time where you realize that there is even a better way of doing that. It's not only about finding the solution, but it's also about sharing that solution with others, detecting that same problem much faster on the next time around. So I want to cover that on the rest of these slides. But when problem hits, you're essentially looking, and this is a WebSphere-specific example, you're essentially looking at somehow, and this somehow is covered by the tooling, but that somehow getting the log files from those servers, whatever protocol you decide to use, I'm going to talk a little bit about them, but it's to bring one or more of these log files into the log analyzer tool. We're going to have an offset of screenshots and detailed operations instructions on how to do that. But you want to bring those files inside log analyzer. You want to merge them. You can do filtering, highlighting, scan for problem reoccurrences. These are all point-and-click operations inside the tool. And eventually may come out with the solution just for that problem at hand, or you may decide that it's common enough that you want to record it for the benefit of others that will bump into it later. And that's the other tool I want to show you today, is the Symptom Catalog Editor. And these tools work hand-in-hand in the sense that you can create a kind of this problem definition for later scanning from Log Analyzer, use the Symptom Catalog Editor to modify it somehow. Maybe you want to put some more words around it. Maybe those words are customized to your particular application, to your particular environment. It's not what you'd find in a tech node, but maybe something specific to the way your network is wired, something that you know to cause certain problems. But you can use that editor to feedback that definition into Log Analyzer and make the next scan better. With that, I'll go to slide number 5, and I want to start looking through these tools into more detail, how all of this happens, actually. The first step is on slide 5, and many of you may be familiar with it, is the IBM Support Assistant. Yeah, that's available to IBM customers. It's not particular to any given product. It works across all of the IBM software group and systems group stack, mostly software group. But WebSphere definitely covered there. You're going to see DB2, Lotus, and all of the Tivoli offerings and others in there. But what you're looking at is a very streamlined process, in the sense of you get this tool from this URL that is listed at the bottom of the slide, and you're going to do two things. You're going to install a product plugin, so WebSphere Application Server is obviously one of them. And based on that product, you can install two plugins. And we're going to see the two of them. There are some others in there as well. Of note, there is one that I really like. It's the AutoPD Collector. So that's a tool that actually goes into your boxes and through an assisted process will pretty much compress all the files and put them on a big package that you can send directly to IBM support or feed directly into the log analyzer at your site. So I really like that one plugin that's not listed here. Let's go to slide number 6 and see what this setup process looks like. It's really simple. Once you install the IBM Support Assistant from that URL, you're going to see the main welcome page. It's going to tell you that you don't have any plugins or tools installed yet. You're going to see on the toolbar at the top, there is the tools and product information navigation links. Once you get into those, you can do through just simple checkboxes, select which products and which tools you want installed. So for this particular demo, I have some screenshots of a real demo, an actual customer problem, and we picked a WebSphere application server in its various versions, and we also picked the log analyzer and the symptom editor from the common tools plugins. That's kind of occluded in the screen here, but those are the two screens you would go through. The download is going to take you probably 30 seconds to 2 minutes, depending on your network speed. It's not really overwhelming. But once you do that, that's a single-step operation. After you have IBM Support Assistant installed, you have your product plugin for WebSphere in there, and you have these tools set up in there, all you have to do is to go to the product screen, select your product, and then you're going to see these two tools on the side. And we're going to show how this next slide, on slide number 7, what it looks like to once all this is ready for you to launch the Log Analyzer tool. So for this particular example, I'm selecting WAS 6.0, and I'm going to launch the Log Analyzer tool. And I'll go to slide number 8. And so we go to slide number 8. We have all set up. We launched the Log Analyzer. You're going to go through the steps on the left. You don't need to go through all of them. It's pretty much a comprehensive view of what you could do inside the tool. In most situations, you're going to find the interesting log entries that you want to search or maybe work on before you get to the end of this this list. So let's go through each step and see what they look like. So we'll go to slide number... First, before I go there, just talking about this entire screen, it's really empty. There is nothing done to it yet. But you're going to see a Log Navigator tab on the left, and that's going to show you three different things. We're going to focus on two of them, the log files you're going to import and the symptom catalogs. I'm going to cover symptom catalogs very well towards the end. On the upper right portion of it, you're going to see the log entries once you import a file, and you're going to also be able to see the details of log entry at the bottom. So we'll just go to slide number 9. And through the file menu, there is an import log operation in there, which prompts you for this dialog. And you can see a series of log files imported in there. There is also an option to group them in log sets. So you see the buttons on the right about creating a new log set, renaming them, or deleting them. But those could be, usually when I work with this, I could just group them by problem reported by the user. So I have different sets of files from different users. But you have this Add button from where I'm going to show you slide number 10. Actually, not slide number 10 just yet, but through that Add button, you're supposed to indicate where the files are located, their types, and then come back to it. And after that point, I have set up to import these two log files I want to show you. This is from a WASND distribution, so there were two servers that were not behaving very well, some security problems on them. So I call them WAS1 and WAS3. I hope the screen resolution allows you to see them. So I imported these two system.log files inside the tool. On slide number 10, you're going to see what it looks like. So you already immediately see on the Logs tab, on the Log Navigator, the two files in there. You already see one of the files, all the entries for one of the files on the table on the right. And when I right-click them or any of these files at any point on the screen, I have this option to select View All Log Files. And that's really interesting there because essentially it meshes all the files you have imported, sort them in whatever way you want. By default, it's by the timeline, which kind of makes sense. But you could sort them by thread identifiers, maybe component identifiers, whatever the way you want. On that table, pretty much you click on all the headers and you get the sorting, ascending or descending. So the merge is for your judgment there on how you want really to sort the things, but timeline kind of makes sense. And that's really interesting when, say, you have webs, you're talking to TP2 and you're not sure, maybe your JDBC driver or your logs are showing that something's not working well in the database. And you load that database file as well and you merge them with the WAS log files, you can see where WAS reports an error, and a few seconds later, you see that there is a database error message. So this notion of merging the log file is really powerful at that point. You see all these things in context all at the same time. So that's a major improvement over trying to load these files on text editors, which are really powerful, by the way. But this is really something you wouldn't be able to do with just a plain text editor. So I go to slide number 11, and that's another powerful feature there. Okay, you can import these files, you can merge them, but maybe the volume of data is just too overwhelming. For this case in here, I have over 200,000 records. Like I mentioned, this is a real problem. It's not a sample file. And my first thought is, let me filter through just errors and warnings. So I'll filter all the informational messages, but still, I still got a fair amount of data in there. So I went there on that button, on the filter button, and said, well, let me just look at things that don't have the java.net.socket string in them. Those were showing up all over the file. There were hundreds of them, and it didn't seem that they were related to the problem. There was some other module inside WebSphere that was hitting that problem. But it wasn't related at all to security, so I filtered it out. So you see on this panel, I can say that the message text is different from that string or doesn't contain that string. When I apply it, I go back to my screen, and I hope you can see there, now I'm looking at 18 out of 200,000 records. So much better focus on what the problem may really be. Again, with a text editor, you possibly could do that as well, and most people do actually that way. But with so much noise, you're already working under the pressure of the end user who wants their problem fixed. If it's a high severity problem, maybe you have the IT manager asking for status. So under pressure, it's really easy to miss things. The last thing you want is more noise to get in the way. So the filter really works well there. And you can apply multiple of them. You can just leave them all pre-configured, and when you click on that drop-down icon next to the button, you can just apply one of the filters, pre-configured filters, at any point in time, so the tool is just going to go through them. So there you go. So you could import, you could merge, and you can apply filters. And now one thing that I really like, slide number 12, not that I don't like the others, but this is really powerful, is maybe I don't want to filter, because by the time I filter, next thing is I look at an error message, and I say, well, what happened right before that? I just see all the errors, so maybe I want to see some more. So I can go to this button, highlighters, and tell the tool to apply certain colors to certain entries based on their text, maybe their severity, their creation time, maybe the component. In my example, I mentioned what if I had imported a DB2 log file. Maybe I wanted the DB2 entries to show up with a green background so I could see them, kind of a visual aid that helps a lot. In this case in here, I applied it to servlet error entries. So I can still see everything on the same screen, still the 18 entries, but I have that visual clue about servlet errors being colored in blue. So that helps a lot as well. So let me move on to slide number 13 and show another aspect of the tool. When you import the log record, by default, there are 7 columns that are displayed, but you see a list of available columns that you could choose as well. So one that I like a lot is the thread identifier and the application name sometimes, depending if you have multiple applications imported inside the tool. But you have very just point and click operations to move them back and forth or up and down. So you can pretty much configure that display in whatever way you want. Okay, so we can import files, merge them, apply filters, apply highlighters, but there may be a chance that you couldn't find it, or maybe you're still unsure, you just wanted to double check for other things just in case. Like I mentioned, at that point, you're working on a problem, there's a lot of pressure, you want to reduce the possibility of error. So let's scan for things that are already known by others before we declare what the problem is, or just to make sure that we are not missing a secondary problem and those sorts of things. So we move on to slide number 14. I guess my slide 14 is a repeat of 13. So actually to slide number 15. And what I'm going to do here is I want to show you how you can import a symptom catalog, which I'm going to describe in a little bit. But what I'm trying to do here is to load a knowledge base. I had it on my local machine, but from this dialog you can see on slide 15, you have option to load it from a remote host. So you can share it across the organization. IBM already has a few of them preloaded in a central website in the IBM.com domain, so you could import some of those. Word of disclaimer, though, those loaded right now on that IBM.com location, that it's a standard setup of the tool, they're not meant for a full comprehensive scan on all log entries. They are more of an assistance for an individual entry. You just don't go to – there are thousands of entries in them. What they're going to show you is, if you select just one record, is to ask the tool to tell you what is the explanation about this one message. So those are the ones that are preloaded. But you could create some more that are much more detailed, customize it to your operations, and where you could tell the tool to scan the entire log file. I'm going to show that in a little bit. That was just a word of disclaimer about the ones that are already loaded on IBM.com. So I indicate this local file, and I bring the symptom catalog into the tool. Haven't showed yet what it can do, actually. So I'll go to slide number 16, and now you can see the power of this feature. You just right-click one entry, and you have two options in there. You can just analyze that one entry, or indicate analyze all. And what that does is The tool will go through every single record that you have imported and cross-compare it with definitions inside that symptom catalog. And if there is any match, they're going to show up at the bottom of the screen, and you're going to see at the time where the tool understands that there is a match, and the tool is going to show you which of the events match that definition. In particular, I'm going to show you how to do that in a moment, but in particular for this problem in here, what I was after is that the servlet error was showing up every couple hours on these servers, but there was a problem associated with the same web application being loaded on both servers and try to access the same resource. And some temporary problem where the application would die right after. So every 2 hours, this message showing up every 2 hours was okay, because it was just that one particular error. It was one of those harmless errors. So the application owner just told IBM support that this was not something that they already knew about, that was already being fixed, so should not worry about it. But that if it happened within 5 minutes of each other or 10 minutes of each other, that was a problem, meaning that application was actually trying to run on both servers at the same time. So what we did, and I'm going to show you how to do that, we selected two entries in here and just told it to scan for occurrences of that particular message within 5 minutes of each other. That is a problem. So that's why you see at the bottom that when I say matched events, there are two of them, and I can double-click one of them and to see on the table above where they are, meaning we did have an occurrence of that particular problem in that installation. Now, try and imagine doing that over 200,000 records without any automation. Right, so I'm going to show you now on slide 17 what I meant by symptom catalogs, what they are in more detail, and how you could create one of those things I just mentioned to you with a couple of clicks, actually. So let's see symptom catalogs on slide number 18. There are two very basic concepts there. So I hope there were some problems in the rendering of the slides during the pre-run of the session. So if you don't see it in entirety, the block on the left has a title, symptom definition, on top. The PDF presentation should be fine. So what symptom catalogs are, essentially, I use the word database in here, but it's a collection of symptom definitions. And a definition is essentially a rule and a recommendation. What you're trying to tell the tool is, if I see this rule within the if this rule matches something in the log file, I'm going to show you this particular recommendation. Correct? So you group all of these individual definitions into a big file. That is the symptom catalog or the symptom database. I put a wildcard next to actions. This is not something that the tool does, but it's something that is contained in the standard representation of these files. That's a standard that IBM is proposing. Essentially, that would allow for automated actions. It is not something that this tooling does today. And that's actually going to be part of other solutions, and maybe there are that's for other vendors as well, so that you can take automated action upon detection of patterns. That is not covered, the yellow portion, not covered in this presentation. We're just looking at rules and recommendations. So on slide number 19, I have two examples in there of what the rules would be and what recommendations would be. So I could tell the tool to, whenever it sees a message containing this particular string, like CEI0011E, and the situation category, that's one of the event fields, is connect, I can show the text in green telling the admin to verify a certain provider and those sorts of things. Or I can do something more interesting, like I had mentioned before, about looking for sequences of records. So it's not only about an event looking like something, but it's actually telling the tool that if you see these things in sequence, that is a problem. Individually, not a problem, but if you see those two things in the file, that is a problem. I have an example here that it's a CEI message, and there is also a JMS informational message. The problem is that the common event infrastructure is stopped there. You could do some other interesting things as well, like if you see this particular message with the WebSphere error, JDBC driver error, for instance, and there is also a message from DB2 saying that the DB2 version or fixed spec version is maybe 8.1.4, that is the problem, probably because you need, you know, the recommendation would be apply fixed spec 5 or 7 to DB2. in isolation, not a problem. When you see them in sequence, that's a big problem. And when you're looking at thousands of entries, really, really difficult to do that with just plain text editors. So I'll go to slide number 20. Some suggestions on how you could group these definitions, depending on volume. Of course, by the time you have 5, 6, 10 of these definitions, you're just going to have one file that you share with the rest of your team. When you're looking at hundreds, or sometimes even in case of automatically generated symptom catalogs, you're looking at thousands of them, you may want to group them. There is not a concrete rule on how to do that, but you could do that based on product, version, application. You could have duplicates as well, as long as they don't overwhelm your analysis. It should be okay also to have the same definition showing up on two different catalogs. You may want to, you of course would prefer the two to show you two matches than none, so not a concrete rule in there. So I'll go to slide number 21 and show you how you create one of those. It's really simple. Say for the first time you find a problem, like my example of the two identical records within 5 minutes of each other. I think it's 5 or 10 minutes. But all you have to do is really to select the entries that you think characterize the problem, maybe just one entry, or in my example here, two, or it could be three. I mean, whatever you think or you learn that solves the problem or identifies the problem, you select them, you right-click them with the new symptom definition item in that menu, and we go to slide number 22, and you start to see the symptom wizard coming up. It's pre-populated with event data that you just selected. An important field in there is what is the type of the rule. So there is filter pattern. For this one, I chose the sequence pattern, already after a particular sequence. So you see the two records that I had pre-selected in the log analyzer. They are shown on here on the event selector screen. There is a bit of editing that I have to do because it maybe for message text, sometimes there are timestamps in them or host names in them. So you definitely want to remove those portions of the string because, of course, you want to match this against the generic problem, not on that particular machine. So there's a little bit of editing that you do on the event selector dialog in there. Then you can go to the next screen on the wizard and say specify what is the recommendation for solving that problem. You can't read in here on the small screen, but essentially I have the address, the web address of the IBM.com tech note. So I go to line number 23. I have that particular tech note is one of the links in the screen. But the question is, okay, so how do I find this recommendation? How do I find that solution? Is that something that the tool covers? The answer is Log Analyzer doesn't cover the detection of the solution. It helps you isolate entries and helps you narrow down your attention, but you still have to go to the point of associating that isolated information to the actual problem if it's not on symptom catalog. What I'm trying to say is, how do you create that first symptom definition before a colleague can reuse it somewhere or even you can reuse it later? One quick way of doing this, we can't forget, we still have that IBM Support Assistant installed, and it has a really good search capability in it. That's called a federated search. So that's going to, of course, Google is one of the resources. There are some other search resources in IBM.com, of course. But what you can do with ISA is essentially you paste that string you want to search, and you have this checkbox saying where you want to search them, and it goes through all those resources, creates a unified list, and show them to you just in the single screen. It's really powerful. Think of search engines on steroids, and if you would go through all the manual steps on different web browser windows, this particular screen in here will do all of this for you. There's that search link on the upper left corner. That's how I found the solution for this one problem, by the way, once I identified that this particular log entry seemed associated with the problem. Of course, there is colleagues. They will tell you what the solution is. There is always that situation where you're telling someone about how hard it was to find a solution to a problem, and they're told, oh, I knew about it. That really ruins your day. You just lost a few hours or a few days doing something that someone already knew about. Right? But I really like this notion of federated search, and it helps a lot. Other than the colleagues that already know about the problem, that's the next best thing. So I go to slide number 24. Before I go into the details of this next portion, that's not as central to the presentation as the prior slides. I just wanted to recap the point in here about how powerful this notion of symptom catalog detection is and some best practices around, some ideas around it. So a lot of times is about sharing that knowledge with colleagues. So one thing that you can do with the symptom catalogs once you edit them on your machine, of course you have a file there, you can import multiple of them inside the log analyzer. So even if you're working with three different people and each of them is collecting this information as they go along, you could definitely import their own personal symptom catalogs inside log analyzer all at the same time. And when you do that request for analyze all the records, log analyzer will take all of them in consideration. So all you have the other option is when you open them in the symptom editor, you can just select them, copy and paste all into a central approved or sanctioned symptom catalog. So the possibilities there are good. Don't worry too much about having a central file. What we found out, at least in our practice here, is that it's more important to be close to the solution than to be absolute precise. So you're not looking at a tool to tell you do steps A, B, and C to solve the problem. You think of the tool as an assistant, someone that will help you under pressure, that will help you not lose certain aspects. I mean, you're looking at thousands of entries. It's really easy to miss a long entry there. So even when the tool doesn't tell you anything, it's still telling you something. It's telling you that of all known problems within that organization, of recent problems, you don't have those. So that's reassuring. You're not trying to fix a problem wondering if there is something else. At least that much you know that those things that were already learned by your organization are not present. I would like people to think of it that way. It helped me a lot when I stopped thinking about something that had to tell me what the solution was as opposed to an assistant there. And toward that goal, I say, okay, I'm going to share knowledge. There is all sorts of analysis. There is a point in time that I may have to hand the problem to someone. I'm really fond of my highlighters, my filters, the way I set up my environment. And yeah, I have my colleague that just installed IBM Support Assistant, download these tools, and I say, okay, how do I look into this problem? Right? You convinced me, and do I have to set up my environment? I like the way you arranged the highlighters. So how do we do this? How do we collaborate in the solution of the problems? Sharing the symptom catalog files is one way, and I'm going to show you how to do more than that on slides number, starting on 24 and going to 25. Simple operation. You go to file and export your entire layout to a file that someone can just pick up on their screen and have an identical screen or workspace than what you had before. So you can export all of your filters, all of your highlighters, the formats, the order of the columns, how you sort the records. So just in a few moments, you can have a colleague with the exact same view, configured the exact same way as you had before they started working on the problem. And you could have different files. You could have a configuration that's good for WebSphere files alone, a configuration that is good for when you have WebSphere and DB2 log files, and because you choose different columns in there. You can have special highlighters for just, say, DB2, and so on. So you can have multiple of these files. And when you import them into your workspace, you have this option of overriding your entire settings or just merging the imported ones with yours. So in a very small span of time, this knowledge can be quickly shared across the entire team. Sometimes just sharing the highlighters with someone, say a set of DB2 highlighters with someone that's not an expert in that product, doesn't make him an expert, but quite close. Maybe he won't be able to recognize the log entries, what their solution is, but they'll be able to at least recognize that there are problems. So it makes them somewhat of an expert almost instantly. Think of knowledge sharing there. So I'll go to slide number 26. And maybe you didn't convince your colleague, or at least not right now, to configure this environment or to download all these tools, but you still want to show them what you found out. Right? Maybe you don't know what the solution is, but a symptom catalog match showed you some recommendation that you're not so sure, or maybe it's a recommendation that applies to a different administrator in your area. Maybe it's showing that's a DB2 problem and those sorts of things, and you're not the owner of those systems, and you want to share them. Really, really simple. That's a single-click operation inside the tool, and you ask it to generate HTML reports. maybe you save them to a central HTTP server, or you just mail the HTML file to someone, so they don't need all of the tools installed on their machines. I would feel that they would probably install it after that point once they saw what the tool can tell them about something that they, a problem that they didn't even know how to solve or didn't know they had. But it's really easy to share not only the settings with someone that uses the tooling, but also the results with someone that doesn't. It's really powerful at that point. So with that, I'll go to slide number 27. And I'd like once again to reemphasize to have a summary there of what we've seen. I want you to come out of this session with the notion of Log Analyzer as a triage tool initially. Don't think of it as a competitor to a text editor. Those are really powerful, really nimble. But think of it when the problem gets really thick. By the time you have thousands of entries, pressure is huge. And you just, even if you're trying to find out what the problem is not at that point, think of Log Analyzer there. Think about filtering what you don't want to see. Think about applying colors to the entries as you look through all the data. Text editor is all black and white. Maybe just think of the possibility of seeing all that you see in a text editor with maybe with the database entries highlighted in yellow or servlet problems highlighted in pink. But think of the possibilities. Don't think about my color taste there with the yellow and pink reference, but think of the possibilities of this automation. Again, think of symptom definitions too. Think of, okay, it's not about just you finding the problem. It is about making experts of someone else in your organization or building your own expertise from their work. Think of everybody instantly, or almost instantly, sharing their knowledge, their expertise. Think of the end of, oh, you knew about this problem. Think of less Google and more productivity. And the closing argument here is, it's about saving your time and your teams too. On slide number 30, I have a couple resources, additional resources you may want to look into. So just repeating the, how you get the support assistant. There is a set of functions for large log supports when they start looking into millions of records. There is really a 10-minute setup operation. You do have to install these tools by yourself. It really took me 10 minutes, but deploy these tools and run a script on the tool, Log Analyzer, and instead of trying to do everything in memory, you do it in a database, so you just left the two links in there. And slide 29, a little bit more resources about if you're interested in symptom catalogs, maybe you want to think of automated generation of symptom catalogs from a knowledge base you already have. As an application developer, those would be the resources I would look into. And on slide number 30, this is a regular slide on this series, WSD, other WebSphere-rated resources, and also link to this webcast later on. It's being recorded. And with that, I would like to open up open for questions and answers and turn back to Elijah.
Thank you, Danielson, for a great presentation.
And we'll take our first question from Steve Hayden with IBM.
Howdy. I'm trying to find out in terms of, let's assume we've got lots of logs and a relatively complex symptom database. Can you give us any kind of insight as to how long it actually takes to analyze the logs and present you with some results kind of thing? You're talking, you know,
There is a first time cost when you import the symptom catalog. If something that you're developing and you're just looking at a handful of entries, maybe even at 100 entries, that's almost unnoticeable. I really couldn't tell. It's less than a second. When you start looking at thousands of entries, that takes a while. I've seen cases where, for instance, that WebSphere catalog that's on IBM.com, it has over 7,000 entries. That could take up to 10 minutes sometimes just to do that preload. But that's a one-step operation. The entire database is compiled. Like I mentioned, that's not one you really want to do. Go for the analyze all operations. But after that point, for these 220,000 entries, for this particular symptom detection here, I had five of them, five definitions. It's less than a second to a sub-second response time. when you start to look at the thousands of entries, you're back at looking at 30 minutes, those sorts of things. You really don't want to be going against thousands of entries. That's the case of automatically generated knowledge bases. For the cases where we really see the power of the tool was, like I mentioned, the knowledge sharing, the cumulative reporting of definitions, recording of definitions, you're looking at dozens of hundreds of definitions. Those are really quick, even for, like I mentioned, so you're looking into 1-3 second response time for a full scan of a 100 symptom definitions against these hundreds of thousands of entries.
Thanks.
And as a reminder, it was star and then one to ask a question. We'll take our next question from Don O'Brien with AT&T.
Yes. The thread IDs that are in the log files, how do those match up with like the thread IDs in the Java cores, or do they?
It depends on what the application puts down the log files. In this case, WebSphere writes down the log files. I'm not familiar with how exactly the JVM reports those, but essentially they would have to follow the same format. So it's an equality comparison at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome, though.
And as a final reminder, that was star and then one to ask the question. And with no further questions or comments, I'd like to turn the call back to Elijah Robertson.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Danielson, for presenting today.
Thanks, Elijah.